Amen. Thank you all very much. I appreciate that. Let us take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In just a moment, I want us to read in verse number 13, and we'll read just a few verses, and then we're going to turn to the book of Psalms, where we will take the rest of our time. Well, once again, thank you so much for your prayers and your kindness and grace. I've come up with a thought, though, that maybe there's a way that we could pay off this building. And I know that back in 2013, J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans, while he played for them, broke his nose. And they took a picture of him with a bloodied, broken nose. And you can buy it today, autographed, for hundreds of dollars. And so I kind of thought about that maybe that's a way that we could raise money to pay off the building or something, you know. I don't think it means the same for a guy playing football, you know. So, well, this morning, as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want to remind you that we are talking about the life of David. David has sinned, and he has sinned gravely. David looked upon the woman, Bathsheba. He lusted after her. He took her. He committed adultery with her. And to hide his sin, he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, murdered. David had sinned against God. And the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, let's pick up in verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David, therefore, would you notice verse 16? He besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Now God, in his wonderful wisdom, has recorded the prayer that David prayed that night. We turn now to Psalm chapter 51. And I have chosen to take weeks and look at Psalm chapter 51. Because may I say to you that it is the sinner's prayer. And we're talking of a Christian now. It's a sinner saved by grace. But it's David's prayer of getting back in fellowship with God. Can I ask you a question today? How does the prodigal return home? How does the wayward man or woman or teenager or child get back in fellowship with God? What about their sin? What about the dirtiness of their life? Well, David was there. David wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be back into fellowship with God. But how? Where is the way? I'll tell you the way. It's the way of mercy. That's the only way. And today I want to preach to you on this subject, the marvelous mercy of our God. Now, what is mercy? Well, let's look in Psalm 51 in verse number 1. It is something that David brings attention to very quickly. As he is laying before God, as he is getting himself right with God, this is David's prayer. God records it for us here in his word. Psalm 51 verse 1. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Back in verse number 1, the very first thing that David prays when he goes to God, in spite of all of David's sin, and we believe that David has lived almost a year with unconfessed sin in David's life. And here is David, this man of God, This man who has walked with God, the man who was chosen by God, he has done this terrible deed. He has taken another man's wife and committed adultery with her. David's tried to hide it. And you know all that David went through, getting Uriah drunk and doing all kinds of things to hide David's sin. And then David having a man murdered. David, a murderer, an adulterer. In fact, David, in many ways, committed all of the Ten Commandments, broke all of them when David did what he did. He stole, he took another man's wife, he lied, he coveted, he in many ways took God's name in vain, because here he is claiming the name of God and yet sinning against God. David has done all of this. How does a man like that get back into fellowship with God? One way, it is the mercy of our God. Now, this morning, I want to preach to you on the marvelous mercy of our God. Number one, I want you to notice David's request for God's mercy. David requested it. David said in verse number one of Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me." Now, why did David ask for God's mercy? The very first thing, because David, a man after God's own heart, knew God. And he knew the mind of the Lord. And he had studied the Word of God. And David knew that God was a God of mercy. Now, you know, the truth is, many of us may not even understand what is the mercy of God. Oftentimes we get themes in the Word of God like grace and mercy. We almost combine them. And by the way, you cannot separate mercy and grace, because they hold hands together. They are connected. But mercy and grace are something totally different. You see, the grace of God is something that God gives us that we do not deserve. And it's something that we cannot provide for ourselves. But the mercy of God is something totally different. I want to explain to you this morning the mercy of God. God's mercy is His tender-hearted, loving compassion for His creatures. That is us. It is the tenderness of God. It is His love for us in spite of our sinfulness and in spite of our wickedness. God cares for us. You see, it is God's tenderness of heart toward the needy people. David was a needy man. David had sinned, and David needed the mercy of God. But, you know, honestly, we would look at David and say, "David, you deserve everything that's coming to you." We would say, "David, you deserve more." And by the way, do you know that during that time, the law demanded that a man who committed adultery would be put to death? David deserved the death penalty. He deserved to die because of what David had done. But David said, "God, what I need more than anything else is your mercy. Have mercy upon me." We think about the multitude of David's transgressions, but would you notice back in verse number 1 of Psalm 51, he said this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." God said, or David is speaking to God, and David comes to God with a truckload of transgressions. I mean, David's got so many things in his life. David's lied, he's stolen, he's cheated, he's defamed the name of God. He has brought blasphemy to the name of God. I mean, he's caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David's done all of this. How can that man get back into fellowship with God? Through God's tender mercies. Can I tell you something today? I don't care who you are here today. I do not care what you have done or where you have been. You and I all are recipients of God's wonderful mercies. And let me tell you something about the mercies of God. The mercy of God is His kindness to us. It's His compassion to us. It is that God cares for us even when we have rebelled against Him. It is His tenderness to us. And parents, can I explain it this way? When your children hurt, parents hurt for their children. When your children suffer, you suffer along with them. You enter into it. Let me say this. A husband and a wife, the Bible says that they two shall become one. My wife this past week has taken such great care of me, and I know I can be a difficult person at times, and all of us men need to agree with that right there, because we all know we can be. But my wife has lovingly been a wonderful nurse to me and taken such good care and all of that. And by the way, tomorrow we will celebrate our 19th wedding anniversary together. Amen. Tomorrow. I'd have liked to have done it without a broken nose, I can tell you that, you know. And but tomorrow, 19 years. But can I tell you something? In many ways, with a husband and wife, it's this very same way. My wife has grieved over my grief. She's wept with me this week, you know. We have suffered together. We have entered into this together. I mean, this is a part of us together. And all through the years of us being married, when she weeps, I weep. When I weep, she weeps. She enters into that with me. Can I tell you what mercy is? I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't even know if I can adequately describe the mercy of God. But God's mercy is simply this, that when we suffer, He suffers with us. When we are sad, it makes God sad. When we hurt, God enters into that hurt with us. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't think I understand that. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 103. I do not know if there is a better chapter in God's Word that describes the mercy of God. And brethren, may I tell you, all of us here need the mercy of our God. We need it. We do not deserve His mercy. We are undeserving of God's goodness and His love and His compassion. And in spite of our sin, in spite of our fighting against God, in spite of our rebellion against God, God loves us. He is tender. He is compassionate to us. Jonathan Edwards, speaking of the mercy of God, said this, God is pleased to show mercy to His enemies. According to His own sovereign pleasure, though He is infinitely above all and stands in no need of creatures, yet He is graciously pleased to take a merciful notice of poor worms in the dust like you and me. That is mercy. Brethren, God, look, God is perfect and holy and just, and He is the Creator. Look here, God does not give mercy. He is mercy. Mercy is not something that God possesses like you and I would possess something. God is mercy. And here's something wonderful about the mercy of God. God's mercy never had a beginning. Sometimes we look at Calvary and we think that Calvary, where Jesus died, boy, that's the mercy of God. No, I'm going to tell you something. Because God is merciful, He gave His only begotten Son. Mercy did not begin at Calvary, and mercy did not begin for you and me when we got saved. It began for us before the beginning of time. You see, brethren, God has had mercy on you and me before we ever got saved, or we would have been consumed by the Lord. Think of all that we have sinned against God. Think of our sin, our rebellion against God. And yet God has mercy on us. Psalm 103, I want you to enter into this chapter with me, because I think it is the best way that I can explain the mercy of God. David requested for God to be merciful. Psalm 103, verse number 1. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Look in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then God, in many ways, gives us a little illustration. Look what it says in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of him, of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103 tells us and shows us the mercy of our God. As a father pities his own children, he's enter into them. He lovingly cares for them. He is tender, compassionate. God is compassionate toward you and me. And may I tell you something? Mercy is like when the Lord Jesus saw the multitude. You remember what the Bible says? He saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion toward them. Why? Because they were sheep not having a shepherd. You know, Jesus could have looked at the multitude and said, look at those wicked people. Look at those rebellious people. But he did not do that. He was moved with compassion. And then later on, he goes on and he preaches to the people. And he tells the disciples, give ye them to eat. You see, can I tell you what mercy is? Mercy is not just feeling sorry. Mercy is entering into that. It is being actively compassionate towards someone. And the Lord, our Savior, compassionates you and me. And that's his mercy. David requested for God's tender mercies. And by the way, God's mercy is unchanging. Do you know that it is eternal? Do you know that it is unlimited? Do you know that God's mercy never grows, it never diminishes? Do you know that God's mercy for you and me never gets bigger ever in our life? Because God's mercy is so wonderful, we could talk about it for years to come, and I don't know that we can totally adequately understand it, but his mercy is his kindness, his love, his grace. It is that he enters into us, he looks upon us in our sinfulness, in our wickedness, in our rebellion, and yet he loves us and cleanses us and washes us. That is the mercy of our God. Can I tell you this? There is nothing that you and I could ever do to stop the mercy of God. David said, God, have mercy upon me. David requested for God. You see, brethren, this morning, the only way that David could have ever gotten back into fellowship with God is the mercy of our God. And can I tell you something? Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, took the payment for our sins on Calvary. He paid the price for our filthy, rotten sin. God's mercy was poured out on Calvary. Look here, can I tell you what we deserve? Can I tell you what I deserve this morning? I deserve to die and to go to hell forever. And you deserve the same thing. And if I got what I really deserve this morning, that God would send me to hell and I would spend all of eternity and you would be there with me, because that's what we deserve this morning. But the mercy of God, God says, no, I'm going to withhold from them what they deserve. And I'm going to give to them my own son, Jesus. And Jesus is going to take the punishment that they deserve. Jesus is going to take the separation that they deserve. And can I tell you, on Calvary, do you know what God did? God took every wicked, horrible thing and poured it out upon Jesus Christ. And in many ways, He took everything that was wicked and godless and sinless and sinful. The Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us. And you know what God did for you and me? He gave us eternal life. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us cleansing. Because we deserve it? No, because that is the mercy of our God. That's why David said, David didn't come to God and say, God, you know, I'm the king here. God, you made me king. God, you know that I'm a man after your own heart. And God, let me remind you of all the good things that I've done in life. No, no, no. David got on his face before a merciful God and he said, God, I don't deserve to come into your presence, and none of us deserve to come into God's presence. God, I don't deserve to even pray. I don't even deserve to live. I don't deserve to stand. I don't deserve to speak to you. But God, have mercy upon me. And David said, God, I've got a lot of transgressions. The multitude of my transgressions, will you blot them out? He talked about the tender mercies of our God. Brethren, I want you to know something. The mercy of God is what we need today. He gives us hope, by the way. Take your Bibles and go to Lamentations chapter number 3. Because as we think about the mercy of our God, we need to recall this to mind. You may be here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't think I can ever get over what I've done and the sin that I've sinned against God. Maybe before you got saved, or maybe even after you came to know the Lord. And the devil is good to remind us about all our sins, the sins of our youth, the things that we wish we could rewind and go back and redo. Don't you wish that was possible in life? But it's not that way. And you know something? What do we need this morning? We need His mercy. We need His mercy because we do not deserve it. And we come to Lamentation chapter number 3. I want us to begin reading in verse number 21. By the way, the book of Lamentations is written by Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah is weeping, and God's hand of judgment is coming. But would you notice what gives him hope? Verse 21 of Lamentation 3. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You see, brethren, God does not have mercy. He is mercy. He never begins having mercy on you and me. He is the merciful God to us. And look here today. David's request for mercy should be our request. It should be that daily we come to God and say, God, have mercy upon me in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of my shortcomings. God, lead me, deal with me. You know what? When we get to the place in life where we start thinking that God owes us something or we deserve something from God, we do not understand the mind of the Lord. You know something? When we enter in and we understand who God is, and we understand His mercy. That's what David did. The marvelous mercy of our God. David requested for God's mercy. Number two, I want you to notice the riches of God's mercy. You know, David had many transgressions, But God had a multitude of mercies. By the way, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Now, would you go back to Psalm 51? Because I want to show you some things this morning that David is praying. And by the way, we all sin against our God. We all fail our Lord. We all get backslidden at times in our Christian life. We all allow things through our eye gate and our ear gate that we should never allow. We all say things that we should never say. And you know something? If we were like that, and we are like that, we do not deserve God's mercy. We do not deserve His forgiveness. We do not deserve His compassion towards us. But great is Thy faithfulness. God's compassions never fail. They never stop. Can I tell you this? You and I, if someone hurts you and hurts you and hurts you and hurts you, with God's grace, you can forgive them. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll not treat them the same. You're not going to be the bosom pal with that person because they continually hurt you. But can I tell you something? You and I hurt our God all the time. And yet God never changes His mind about us. Do you know that God never changes the way He thinks about you and me? God never gets to the place. I know what we think. Sometimes we think that if I really get spiritual-minded and do a lot of good things for God, God's going to love me really good. No, God's love never changes for you and me. God's not going to like you better. God loves you with an infinite love. And God's mercy towards you never falters and never changes. God will always forgive. He will always cleanse. He will always wash you. David needed something. David had gotten involved in wickedness and his life was dirty. And back in Psalm 51 verse 1, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness." Think of His loving kindness towards you and me. "According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies." What does he say next? "Blot out my transgressions." Now let me say this to you. Because of God's riches, He blots out our transgressions. Can I tell you what that means? God does something for us that nobody else can do for us. God literally removes the transgression from our life. He buries it in the depths of the deepest sea. He doesn't remember it anymore. And David is saying to God, "God, when I come to You, all I can see and think about is my terrible, wicked sin and my transgression against You. I can't get it off my mind. God, it's before me. Blot it out. Lord, remove it from my life." And God is able to remove our sin to this extent that if you were to go to God and say, "God, You remember that sin that I did years ago or that sin that I did a moment ago, and we've asked Him to forgive us and cleanse us from it," you know what God would say? "Oh, I've already forgotten about that." Brethren, you and I don't have that capability, but there is a God in heaven who chooses to not remember our sin. That is the riches of God's mercy. You see, David recognized that his only hope was in the mercy of God. And by the way, can I tell you something? God's mercy should motivate you and me. You see, brethren, the mercy of God should get such a hold of us that it causes us to live the Christian life as God would have us to live it. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 12 because I want to show you this passage. Brethren, God's great appeal to live the Christian life is founded in His mercy. Today, I love serving the Lord, but I don't deserve to get to serve God. I don't deserve to get to preach and stand behind this pulpit. I'm not worthy of it. But why do I want to serve the Lord? Can I tell you why I want to serve the Lord? It is based on God's mercy for me. It is based because God has lovingly forgiven me and lovingly cleansed me, and that God's mercy is so great toward me, I've got to serve Him. I want to serve Him. It's what Paul talked about when Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. You know, the word constraineth me in 1 Corinthians means it gets such a hold of you that you've got to serve Him. You've got to live for Him. In fact, do you know that God's petition to you and me for us to give our lives to Him is based on His mercy? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what God says to us? The greatest motivation for you and me to live for the Lord is because God has mercy on us. He doesn't send us to hell because of our sin. And look here, although God has mercy on you and me, we must choose to accept Him as our Savior. You see, do you know that God had mercy on Adolf Hitler? Do you know that Adolf Hitler had the mercy of God? God's mercy was extended to him, but Hitler rebelled against the mercy of God. He rejected the mercy of God. Listen, the mercy of God is to the most wicked man on the streets of this city tonight. The mercy of God is extended to anyone in this whole state. It is to everyone, but the mercy of God has to be received. The mercy of God has to be acknowledged. And David is saying, God, have mercy on me. The mercy of God is something more wonderful and marvelous than we could ever imagine. And because God has mercy on you and me, should we not give our lives in total consecration to Him? I'm going to say this, and I pray I do not try to embarrass my children in any way. And you know, and by the way, the pastor kids are just like kids, like anybody else's kids, you know. Sometimes I think they live in a fishbowl per se with sometimes people have unrealistic expectations of sometimes the preacher's kids, but they're just kids. They get in trouble, they do wrong and all that. But last night we were having devotions together, and I began to talk a little bit. My heart was so filled with talking about the mercy of God that my son Caleb at the table, he said, Dad, you mean God's mercy means that God always forgives us and God never stops loving us and caring for us? And I said, that's exactly right. And Caleb started crying at the table. And he said, Dad, I just don't understand the mercy of our God. You know something? The mercy of God should get such a grip on you and me that nobody has to beg us to come to the house of God. The mercy of God should get such a hold of us, and in gratitude and in thanksgiving to our God for His mercy to us, withholding from us death in hell, withholding from us judgment that we really deserve, that we should say, God, here's my life. Lord, take it. Use it. Lord, I owe you everything. That's when Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, think about God's mercies and yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what? When I do not serve the Lord, I am a mockery of the mercy of God. I'm blaspheming His precious mercy toward you and me. We see the request of David. We see, number two, the riches of His mercy. But number three, I want you to notice our response to God's mercy. I want to say this. I'm glad that you are not God and that I'm not God, because we would never forgive people like God forgives us. We wouldn't do it. It is a terrible thing that we are not willing to do for others what God does for us. You see, the right response to the mercy of God is to sell your life out to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, here's my life. Take my life and let it be. Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Lord, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's the right response. But can I tell you another response to the mercy of God? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you know that when God gives us mercy and He forgives us, and He brings us back into fellowship with Him. And He never reminds us about our sin. He never brings it back and says, yeah, you've asked me to forgive you for this for 10, 20, 100 times, and you've never got this right. God never does that to you and me. Why? His mercy. Do you know that God never reminds us of things and holds it in front of us and holds grudges against us? Look, if anybody does not deserve mercy, it is you and me. But the right response to the mercy of God is to give mercy to others. You say, well, my husband doesn't deserve it. My wife doesn't deserve it. My children don't deserve it. Neither do you and I deserve the mercy of God. You say, but you don't understand my boss. You don't understand my neighbor. You don't understand what I deal with, this family member. You don't understand. Well, God understands, because His mercy toward you and me is unlimited. His mercy toward you and me never has an end. Do you know that God never changes the way that He treats us? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's just take the halo off for a second and put it down beside of us, and let's think about this. People mistreat us. People are unkind to us. And you know what we do? We might say, well, I forgive you, but our attitude changes towards them, does it not? We don't want to be around them. And I understand that. And you understand that. But brethren, can I tell you something? The mercy of God... God never says, well, I just don't like that Christian. That old Christian doesn't really serve me. They complain, they gripe, and I'm not going to bless them. God doesn't do that to us because of His mercy. He loves us. He forgives us. His compassions fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. Why? His mercy. Brethren, the right response to the mercy of God is that we show mercy. Years ago, back in 2004, there was a lady by the name of Victoria Ravala. Victoria at the time was 43 years of age, and she was driving in her car, 2004, and she was on her way to her niece's voice recital. And she was excited about going to this. She was driving down the road at normal speed, but at a great speed on the highway. But coming towards her was a carload of teenagers. They had just stolen a credit card, and they were on a spending spree. In fact, they had went to a supermarket and just bought all kinds of crazy things. And one of the things they had bought was a frozen 20-pound turkey. And the boy in the car thought that it would be a great idea at the moment that this car would pass for this young man, that Ryan Cushing, for him to throw it out the window. And as Victoria was driving, and you can imagine the centrifugal force of that frozen turkey, 20 pounds, it went through the windshield, bent back the steering wheel, and crushed into Victoria's face. She spent a month in the hospital. She had surgery after surgery. The doctors had to wire her jaw shut, and they had to use metals to literally rebuild her face. The pain, the agony, the sorrow, the suffering that she went through, all because of an uncompassionate young man by the name of Ryan Cushing, decided to do something very foolish. You say, well, what's the story behind the story, Pastor? On October the 17th, 2005, Victoria attended Ryan Cushing's sentencing. He was going to be sentenced up to 25 years in prison because of what he had done. She stood before the court, now after months and months of, and obviously rehabilitation and all of that, and she said this: despite all the fear and pain, I have learned from this horrific experience that I have much to be thankful for. Each day when I wake up, I thank God simply because I'm alive. I sincerely hope you have also learned from this awful experience, Ryan. There is no room for vengeance in my life, and I do not believe a long, hard prison term would do you, me, or society any good. When she spoke that, Ryan got up and he began to talk and he began to weep. And she came to him in the courtroom and hugged him and urged him to do good with his life. Because of this courtroom scene And because of the mercy that Victoria had on this young man who deserved every bit of the years, the courts decided to give him 6 months in prison. Can I tell you something? When I look at that and I hear that true story, I don't understand. I think, how does a lady have that in her heart? If you know the story behind Victoria's life, I read a little bit behind her story. She grew up with a dad who had lost 2 children and a dad who was a man who was full of bitterness in his life. He was full of hatred. He was full of vengeance. And when this happened to her, she said that all of that bitterness came in her heart and so much anger and so much hatred to a boy who was just being so reckless and careless with his life and what he did. And yet she found mercy in God to show mercy to him. And I'm going to tell you something today. Brethren, I have been given so much mercy. And the mercy of God for my life, I don't deserve any good thing that God has ever given me. I deserve to die and go to hell and spend eternity there. I deserve nothing of His grace and His goodness. I don't deserve the family that God has given me. I don't deserve to be the pastor of this church. I do not deserve the love and kindness of His people. I do not deserve anything. And none of us here today, we do not deserve the mercy of God. It should so grip our hearts. It should so transform our thinking that we would say to God, Lord, take my life. And Lord, use me. And Lord, do whatever you want to with me. And Lord, whatever you ask me to do, it's nothing compared to what you have shown to me in your mercy. And that means we should show mercy to others and forgiveness and grace and kindness to others. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. But you don't know what we have done to our God. You don't know how we have sinned against our God and what God did. If you don't think that what we've done to God is too bad, then look at Calvary and look what God did to His own Son to pay for our sin. Brethren, the marvelous mercy of our God. Oh, listen, let us live our lives for Him and let us show mercy even to those who are undeserving, because we are all undeserving of the mercy of God. David said, have mercy upon me. Brethren, let us thank God for His mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer.